When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You know, is marriage still a viable concept? You know, we talked about this with we talked about this with the divorce attorney. You know, and obviously we have these relationships. It seems like nobody wants to be in relationships anymore.
Yeah.
Nobody seems to value relationships anymore. Motherfuckers want to be baby daddies, baby mamas. I don't know what's going on, but I do know the nuclear family, at least to me, is the solution. We have to get back to that.
Mm-hmm.
But do you think marriage is still a viable concept in today's modern era?
Absolutely. Yeah. And the fact that you said that, you know, it seems like no one wants to be in relationships anymore. I don't know if you guys are on the same timeline as me. That's all we talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Back in COVID 2020, it was entrepreneurship. Like, that was the thing. How are we going to make more money? Because people were so afraid about losing their jobs. Now, all we talk about is relationships.
Yeah.
We all want to be in them. We all want to be able to function and be healthy and fulfilled by them. We absolutely want those things. We are afraid.
Mm-hmm.
We are afraid. And so I'm so thankful that we have platforms like this that are having honest conversations with people who are reasonable and fair, because what's happening is that there's a message that's being perpetuated throughout society, especially Black America, that marriage is useless. Men are the ones left holding the bag. There's no value in it anymore. And that's absolutely just not the case. It's just not the case.
Welcome back to another episode of Daily Wrap Up Crew. No Booker, but I go by the name of Eli. As always, we got Ace with us.
Yes, indeed. It's the wrap up. You know, it's hot because we fire. And on this note, shout out to Maya. He's talking about, you know.
He used to go. Shout out to Maya. She could pull up on the show.
She could still get it. I mean,
mm-hmm. She is great. She's aging gracefully.
Graceful.
That black don't crack unless you smoke it. Then Maya, different.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean. So, anyway, man, we got some special guests in the building. Let them know where they can follow you at.
Yes, absolutely. My name is Allison, certified dating and relationship coach, and you can find me at Align with Allison.
Oh, Eli needs some help.
My name is Patricia. You can find me at PatriciaRJL4 on Instagram. Mm.
And I'm Cassandra. I'm a life and relationship coach and a men's advocate. And you can find me on Instagram at AskMissCassandra.
Okay.
Hey, guys. I'm Nicole Glass, and you can find me at Affirmations for Black Men.
Mm-hmm. Listen, before we get into these topics, make sure you hit that like button, subscribe if you have not already subscribed. Hit that notification bell, man, because I really don't be on y'all enough about the notification bell. Y'all need to stay up to date with everything that we got dropping. Join the second YouTube channel, because we got two YouTube channels right now, Daily Rapper Crew Clips. That's going to be all the short form content, the shorts, all of that good stuff, man. We're trying to separate the channels. That way it's not too crowded, overcrowded for y'all. What else are we missing? Join the membership, join the Patreon, and... I was going to point at you. You ain't got no merch on. What's up?
I mean, it's under the hoodie.
Like, oh, it's under the hoodie. Get the merch, man. Daily Rapper Crew, that cold. Like, you know what I mean? And listen to the podcast audio. There's a lot of plugs. Mm-hmm. We got to get them out there. Like, podcast audio every Tuesday. We need y'all to listen to the audio, because that's very important to these advertisers. They want to know y'all listening to the audio. You know what I mean? So make sure y'all tune in every Tuesday. We drop that. Let me get to this first topic, right? And since we got Nicole on the show, and I want to explain this, because I did see your TikTok. The algorithm got to me somehow, and I know you do affirmations specifically for Black men, and I want to say I appreciate you doing that, because when I seen it, it did make me feel some type of way, because that was like the first time we talk about on the show. Black men are not used to hearing those type of affirmations. We usually get the, you know, y'all ain't shit, y'all monsters, y'all cheat, y'all abuse. Like, we just hear the worst of the worst about Black men. And you know, you have a TikTok dedicated, an Instagram, this whole platform dedicated to affirmations. How important is affirmations, not just for Black men, but just to speak life into each other as Black men and Black women?
Yeah, I think it's extremely important, because it allows us to reprogram our minds and our beliefs about ourselves and each other. if we're hearing so much programming, so much music, we don't control the music industry, right? So the money and the dollars is going towards the music that makes us feel a certain type of way about ourselves and going towards a certain narrative. So if we're telling ourselves a different narrative, a different story, we're able to believe differently about ourselves. And it's like an act of self-love. How you talk about yourself is really important because it's how you feel about others around you.
Uh-huh. And where did you get the inspiration, number one, to do that? Because, you know, we do live in such a society sometimes where it's good to go against the grain, you know what I mean? Everybody's attacking somebody, so it's good to go against that. What made you be like, you know what, I want to be an advocate? I know you as well as an advocate for Black men. What kind of made y'all want to go that route?
I'll start. I think what made me go that route was the affirmations I was giving myself. My therapist recommended it. I've been in therapy for 3 years. Mm-hmm. And she said it's a really good way to build a relationship with yourself. And then so the more I started loving myself, the more I realized I wasn't showing up in love for the people around me. And then it just made me really sad because I didn't know how to care for myself. I think Black women, sometimes we have a particular tone when we're talking to Black men. And so I know how to trigger Black men with the way that I talk. So sometimes I don't feel heard because I'm saying it in a certain way. So I learned how to talk to myself so I could talk to the men that I love.
Mm-hmm. That's dope. That's beautiful. For myself, it's kind of two part. So it's a spiritual part of it. And then there's like a natural part. Spiritually, I just felt called. I felt led. Like I felt like God was like guiding me towards like working with men and seeing men's issues and seeing it from a certain light. So it literally grieved my soul. Like I could feel it. You know how like you'll see different things, different topics on internet or the news, but there'll be like a specific topic that really bothers you. Mm-hmm. And men's issues really bother me. And I have my degree in social work, so I have a master's degree in social work. And I started to reflect and I realized like, dang, in the school of social work and in the mental profession, we have women's issues, women's studies. We have things that are focused on children and we have aging, right? And a couple of other groups. But there aren't any men's studies. And I understand why, right? I understand the impetus of why it has not existed up until maybe in the near future, because we live in a man's society and it seems like it's already been catered to men. So they're looking at those who are vulnerable and the marginalized. But now men are marginalized and now men are vulnerable. And so coupled with my spiritual experience of God putting something in my heart, plus my natural advocacy, put them together. And it was just, this is what I got to do. I know this is my purpose.
Mm-hmm. Love. I think, you know, sometimes even when you said that, sometimes I think we loop Black men into this, you know, we always speak about this patriarchy, right? You know, the white man has oppressed the woman or whatever the case is. And we kind of loop Black men into that. Like, you know, we participated in that. And a lot of Black men are like, wait, no, we never oppressed our women. You know what I mean? So why are we being lumped in with a group of men who have? And, you know, to that point, you know, even when we talk about feminists or even Black feminists, they look at Black men through a lens of, you know, white patriarchy, and then mm-hmm. they just assume that, you know, we have committed those atrocities. And I'm not saying Black men are perfect, but we do fall into that category sometimes, mm-hmm. which kind of makes it hard to have these conversations with Black women because they, you know, they want to feel like they have been oppressed or Black men are just the worst or whatever the case is. So you can see it being reflected into relationships. And I know you said you was also a relationship coach as yes. well. Mm-hmm. So what made you want to get into that, I guess, that space? Because it's easy to pander to one demographic or the other, and it might be more success that way. But what made you be like, you know what? I want to focus on getting relationships back together.
That's an excellent question. So I actually come from 15 years of an education background. My bachelor's degree is in education. I was a social studies teacher. And what I noticed is that the students who were struggling the most were the ones that were coming from single households, yeah. where they were either living with only their mom most times, sometimes a single dad. And what I noticed is that the kids who were coming in with parents who were not only together and living with each other, but seemingly happy, right, a little extra pep in their step during open school night, those were the students who were doing the best. Mm-hmm. And so this was kind of like backwards planning. If I want to have a positive impact on my community, if I want to have a positive impact on the way that we function as a society, we kind of washed. Like you in your 30s, you in your 40s, like we're kind of done. The work that needs to be done now is changing yeah. the way that, it's changing the way that our children are brought up. Yeah. So how do we do that? If I can impart on the youth, right? Mm-hmm. 20s, 30s, 40s, who are starting their romantic lives and kind of change the way that they function romantically, then that means I'm gonna be changing the children that come from those relationships. Mm-hmm. Changing the children that come from those relationships will then have the biggest impact on society.
Got you. This next topic is, you know, since you guys are dating coaches or you guys have some experience, or just everybody in general, know, what are some of the flaws? We're going to get to both the men and women. What are some of the flaws that you see that women have, single women have when it comes to the dating market?
Oh, number one is not going outside. Mm. And that sounds like simple, like duh, no. Like actually not putting themselves in a position to be met and to be seen. Your husband is not going to be delivered to you like an Amazon package. And I bet you on Christmas Day, he's not going to be underneath your Christmas tree. You have to make an effort to go outside. Mm-hmm. I would couple that with part B, which is dating apps. So maybe you're not in a city that's the most social. Maybe for whatever reason, going outside is not reasonable or practical for your lifestyle. Then we need to make this virtual. Go on dating apps. You have to put yourself out there for you to be found by the partner that you deserve.
Dating apps kind of they seem to have this stigma, you know what I mean? That is just purely sexual. Nobody really seems to be serious. So do you think more people are getting away from the dating apps?
I know that since COVID, the amount of dating profiles has increased by 600%.
Oh, wow.
So it's not that people are getting away. I think that people are getting frustrated. They take breaks. They go back on. I know that there's a lot of negative conversation. I think quietly people are then reactivating those profiles and they're still swiping, though. Gotcha. So, yes, there is definitely a negative connotation attached to dating apps. But people are on it and people are meeting and they're getting engaged and they're getting married and they're starting families. And folks are too quiet about that. And that's why sometimes you see those reels that go viral that says, I met my husband on Bumble. Because we're so accustomed to hearing the negative, we need to start talking about the positive.
Got you.
I'm not going to lie. I was one of those people that did not believe in dating apps. I felt like those dating apps were like for creeps and people that didn't have no social cues at all. Mm-hmm. So I was not interested in going on dating app at all. I like meeting people organically. I like feeling the energy. But recently, I put myself on a dating app.
Yes, you did.
And I was like, I was like, oh, okay. You know, because one of my cousins was telling me, you know, on the app, you kind of skirt away from people that, like, not wasting my time.
Yes.
Because these people that are on the app, paying people that are on the app are... have intentions.
Yeah.
And they're serious. Mm-hmm. Well, supposed to be serious, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I come across people that are really serious. And I'm like, oh, wow. So it was refreshing to see, like, men actually knowing what they want and being serious about being in a relationship.
Yeah. And there are real strategies that people can use, both men and women, to filter through foolishness.
Yeah.
Number one, people who are paying to be on apps.
Right.
Number two, looking for the answers. Like, let's stop just looking for handsome. Let's stop just looking for beautiful. Like, are they answering the questions on the apps? And are those questions in alignment with what you want? If the person says, I just want to go with the flow, you better go the other way, right? And so a lot of times people are forthcoming about what they want. We just don't want to listen. Because he's 6'6 and chocolatey and he got a beard, I'm going to ignore everything else that's very clearly problematic, right?
Exactly.
And then be surprised and then blame the app. Blame you.
Right.
Not you.
No.
But you.
That's a good point because when you look at the profile, because they give you a set of questions that you have to answer.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you look at people's profiles, like, bro, this is not... What?
It's blank.
What are you saying right now? So that's very true. You got to be.
If he just keep hitting you with the what you doing messages, I can't really care. I'm sorry for the men out there. I just blew up. Like, you know what I mean? I gave away this shit.
No, but it's true. You got to have some type of substance.
So what do you see as far as, you know, things that women struggle with single women struggle with in the dating market?
Women or men?
I want to get to the women. We're going to get to the men, but I want to get to the women first.
I'm a men's advocate. So that they're struggling with when they're trying to connect with men.
Okay, yeah.
So I would say that they feel that men are not well-rounded. Something is always missing. So it seems as though it occurs as though women are working on, you know, women, feminine energy has circular mindset and thinking. Men are more logical and linear thinking. And so when a woman is typically working on herself, she's not only working on her spiritual, she's working on her emotional, she's working on her physique, she's getting educated, she's joining sister circles, and she's traveling, right? She's doing this whole travel noir thing, right? So she's doing all these things. And she'll meet a guy, and maybe he's doing the educational thing, or maybe he's gainfully employed, but his spirituality is lacking. He's not well-traveled. There's something that's missing, and she feels like, I don't want to raise him. Like, in this area, I don't want to drag him to church. I don't want to make him get his passport. Like, if he's... So women are wanting men to come more like ready-made, turnkey.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Ooh. Nicole, what's your thoughts on this?
I think the question was, what are women struggling with?
And then what do single women struggle when it comes to the dating market? What do they struggle with?
I think for me right now, I'm struggling with manipulation. I feel like some people aren't forthcoming when they want to get access to you. Because, you know, women were so like nurturing and we're like this almost like this pretty soft little thing. And everybody wants, I want this right now. And then people will do anything to get it. And whether that's like lying or manipulating or making your intentions kind of be like they're this way, but they're really that way. Mm-hmm. And so I think the biggest struggle for me right now is just like trying to sift through that and be patient and trust that with time, people's masks fall off, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and, you know, just trying to be consistent with that and just getting through the kind of BS.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know. This one's going to be interesting. What do y'all think men struggle with when it comes to the dating market with women?
From what I've heard, it's the pressure mm-hmm. of having to meet the grand expectation and
the unrealistic
and the grand expectations. And for me particularly, I honestly don't think that reasonable women are demanding something that is ridiculous. I think that what makes it ridiculous is that the resources and the support don't exist for a woman to demand a man to be as traditional as she would like. So what I mean by that is, you know, we'll use women as an example. If we expect our women to be able to cook and clean, then we need to bring home ec back in school. If we expect our men to be handy and to be able to handle financials, then we need to make a focus of that in school. Mm-hmm. And maybe a woman is not going to get home ec, but there are Girl Scouts, I know there's Boy Scouts of America as well, but there are groups and opportunities for young ladies to be groomed in a fashion where they can learn to cook or they can learn to do some of these domestic things that can create a house, shift the house into a home, whereas men don't have that, mm-hmm. right? So if you're a man and you want to be high value, right, you want to be a high value man and you want to have all these things, you're less likely to find a group organically, meaning away from your parents, like your parents, somebody in your network, somebody on your block, right? You're less likely to find that than a young lady would. So I feel like that's what makes it increasingly unfair. I feel I put that on society. It's our responsibility as a collective. If we're going to say this is what a man is, then we need to create resources at the ground level so that men can glean from that, they can eat from that, and become the man that they desire.
Yeah, I
agree with you, but then I disagree with you at the same time. Because we're in 2023, right? Mm-hmm. Going into 2024, there's resources all over the place. So if we don't know, because as a woman, if we don't know something, we're going to figure it out. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it should be the same thing with men. If you don't have the resource, or if you didn't grow up knowing this, then go find that. Mm-hmm. Because you can go through YouTube. There's classes. There's... Mm-hmm. There's mentorship for men. There's a whole bunch of different things out there that you can search for. Mm-hmm. So you don't have that excuse.
I don't think it's the same skill.
Yeah, I think, and I get where you're coming from, mm-hmm. but being a man and looking at the resources, I'm going to be honest with you, there's not as many resources available to the young black men and black boys as there are to black women. Like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And, you know, even when we try to look up for our businesses, the specific loans, grants, just for black men, there's rarely any, there's none. But when you type in, take out black men and put black women, there's a whole list of those motherfuckers. And, you know, even when it comes to the workforce, you know, sometimes, and I'm not saying this is in a negative way, but sometimes the employer might hire that woman because it's looked at more as a diversity hire than that man that's who equally is as qualified. But let me get the woman because it'll go towards my quota or whatever the case is. Like, you know, so I'm saying that there is certain disadvantages that men have to face, and I'm not saying that's an excuse, but it is something that we do have to.
I remember I was looking up loans for our business, and I was talking to one of my friends that worked at a bank, and he was telling me, I might want to consider getting a female calls and make it easier for you. Like, I was like, damn, like, you can't get nothing, like, just us. Like, it's tough.
And I think as a woman, too, me being a coach, there are certain privileges that I have as a woman that make it really hard for me to understand what men go through, because I'm walking and I don't even recognize the privileges that I have. Mm-hmm. And they really actually exist. It happens in focus groups. It happens when, you know, not just in coaching, like when I do my one-on-ones, more so like when I'm doing group focus groups and I'm intentional about retrieving information about men's experiences. Yeah. And when there's a collective response, like the entire group of men are nodding in agreement. I'm the only one looking there like, really, this exists? Mm. It's mind-blowing. Mm. Like, I remember one time I had a focus group, and one of the guys said that his biggest challenge with women is that he feels that women are ungrateful. And I'm thinking that's his experience.
Right.
Until I looked on the Zoom, right? Because it was during the pandemic. And everybody's like, yeah, like, you know, somebody said the sky was blue. Like, it was very natural.
Right.
It didn't even grieve them. It didn't bother them. It wasn't like an uproar. There wasn't something that they wanted to discuss and get into and to delve into. Mm. I was the one that wanted to delve into it because I had not heard this before, or it didn't like click. Because if I have multiple, you know, one-on-ones or group, and a guy says it, I'm not thinking like, well, I heard the last three gentlemen that I coached say the same thing. Yeah. It doesn't happen like that. So when I asked him for his feedback and he helped me to understand, it was just like, I give my girl a lot of grace. But when it's if I do the same thing that my girl does, it's World War III.
But let me tell you, Cassandra, I don't think that that's exclusive for men or women. I think one of the biggest issues is that we keep dividing the sexes, and we really have very similar experiences. My group chat, they call me All Lives Alley, because all I do is talk about, nope, women experience that. Nope, men experience that. Mm-hmm. Women will tell you the same thing. Men are ungrateful. Mm-hmm. I wash his clothes. I take care of his kid. I carried his kid. I fixed his credit. I bought him a new clock. We all have the same complaints. Mm-hmm. We have the same complaints. I think the issue is that because we've become so divisive as a society, and I think even strategically amongst Black men and Black women, that we think that it's the other side that has the problem and not us. Just as you just said, that it didn't click to you, like some of the grace that we're given as women. I'm sure the guys, a conversation I have with my husband, I said, yo, when I walk down the street at night, I'm taking my keys and I'm putting it through my fingers, waiting for somebody to walk up on me. So I can, right? He can walk through the streets at night with no concern. I'm sure men are not concerned about getting raped when they go to come home from the club, or covering their drink so that no one puts a roofie in there. We all have things that we are worried about, that we're concerned about, that the other doesn't.
Correct.
So again, it's more about realizing that we're both struggling in some way, and then how can we meet halfway so that we can build 100%. A better society, a better community, versus who has it worse off.
Mm-hmm. Right. I agree.
So what do you see as far as the struggles that some single men have when it comes to the dating market?
Oh, man, it's plentiful. So, it is a struggle. So one thing, and I talk to Cassandra about this all the time, the unrealistic expectations, where women will have a list that is extensive of what they require and desire out of a gentleman, and they either don't have those things or can't match them. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, everything won't be an exact match. It's yin and yang for a reason. Mm-hmm. But compliment, let's be realistic. There was a woman, which is why I mentioned the 6-foot chocolate with the beard. Mm-hmm. So I have a post that says something about be the list. And she says, well, I can't be the list because my list has 6-foot chocolate with the beard. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, this is what I want you to think about. Obviously, you're not going to be an exact replica, right? This is what I want you to think about. I want you to think about how desirable the 6-foot chocolate with the beard is. Are you just as desirable as that? Whatever society might mark that is. Yeah. They might say it might be a big butt, flat stomach, big titties that sit up like this. Whatever society may define as the most attractive characteristics in a woman, do you have that? Because you're going to have to compete, sis. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the issues that guys are held to a standard many times that's unrealistic. And again, I'm sure it's the other way around too, but in many times very shallow. Very shallow things. The things that will not give you sustenance. The things that will not allow you to have a lifelong committed relationship with your partner. He's 6 foot now, but who's going to care when he's in a cane and he's 5'5 because y'all are 70 years old, right? Mm-hmm. Who cares about her titty standing up like this when she done birthed 3 of your kids? Like, these are the things that people are looking into that don't have longevity. And that's why our relationships are shit.
That's great. Cause on our show, plenty of times we have women who say, "Yeah, I had the perfect guy, but you know, he wasn't quite Eddie Murphy enough." Like, you know what I mean? I'm like, damn, like he had every characteristic, but because he's not a comedian or he didn't make you laugh as much, you automatically disqualified him. You know what I mean? So that goes to the, you know, a man could check off 9 out of 10, but if he ain't 10 out of 10, then now it's I'm settling. You know, we hear that a lot of times. Like, if they don't get 10 out of 10, then they're settling. Like, you know what I mean? And that can make it difficult for men. Hard working, just honest men that want to treat
it
a woman
easy
right.
For men, because he won.
To read out.
He won.
You can look at it like that, yep.
You know, if the complaint is that women are ungrateful, inherently ungrateful, right? Meaning, like, it's World War III. If I do something, she does the same thing, then you know, by proxy, he's been eliminated out of having to deal with her, having this laundry list of expectations mm-hmm. that he's not going to be able to meet because he's a human being. So I one of the things that I you know, encourage men to experience and recognize is, like, one, choose a woman that chooses you, right? And if somebody says, if somebody's showing you who they are, like they say, believe them. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So don't, you know, a woman who feels so, and also I kind of want to add a little bit of balance to this. There are things that women ask of men that seem unreasonable, but a lot of them can be traced biologically, right, to a primitive experience. And one of the reasons why women do want a man that's funny is because some women are neurodivergent, or some women are a little bit neurotic and they have a hard time with their anxiety, and having some comic relief is more survival than it is superficial. Mm-hmm. It occurs as superficial, but really biologically what she's saying is, I'm not really capable of regulating my emotions to the best of my ability. And I've noticed that when I'm with a man who makes me laugh, it helps me to see, like, have levity and lightness in my life. So, you know, it's hard when we hear these conversations. Like, I've seen some of these things, like, online where people are talking, women are giving their experiences and things that they want. And a lot of times I'm looking at it like, that's science. Mm-hmm. The way it came out was rough. It was nasty.
Yeah, right. But, the same thing with the height. Like, yeah. it is biological, right? Like, the assumption is that a taller man, a more buff man, is going to be more likely to protect. Mm-hmm. So, right, but then we also are in 2023 and we have to leave, like, the caveman ideology behind,
right,
and have to be more realistic, right?
Yeah.
And so that's one of the issues. But the guys, they're not innocent either. There's a lot of unrealistic expectations that are coming from that side. And that's why I said we're not that different as we like to imagine ourselves to be.
What's some of the unrealistic expectations you have from
it? The number one biggest one that I 100% agree on mm-hmm. is this expectation of a financial split, a 50-50 split, or something close to that, 60-40. Mm-hmm. We are in a capitalistic society. It is realistic that two parties are contributing to the household relatively equally financially. However, guys don't see, seemingly, some guys don't see the household responsibility being that 50-50 split. Mm-hmm. So if I'm contributing to the household in terms of finances as equally as you are, mm-hmm. but you're not changing as many diapers, you're not doing as much laundry, you're not cooking the meals, that work is way harder. I would much rather go back to work than be a stay-at-home mom. And I say that, I love you, baby, right? It is hard. It is hard as hell. And I think, relatively speaking, gentlemen don't appreciate that.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things that personally bothers me when I see these conversations online.
Yeah.
And this falsehood around men paying 100%. What major city? New York? Miami? Mm-hmm. Chicago? L.A.? There's no way that we can live a comfortable life for the most part if there's only one income.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we talk a lot of shit, but in reality, a lot of women are contributing that 50%,
mm-hmm.
but that 50% is not being given in the household responsibility, which is way more work.
Mm. I think that's, and I think that's for, even when we have these conversations, I don't think we ever mean 50 with the bills. But again, if all my money does have to go to the bills, I'm not gonna be able to save as much money for a rainy day. Like, you know what I mean? So, therefore, your money can be used to go into savings, or mm-hmm. maybe you could use that money to invest into, you know, stocks or whatever the case mm-hmm. is. It doesn't have to be to the bills, but just know, I'm paying all the bills. I'm not going to have money to go on vacations. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That there's not that much leftover money I'm going to have to just do X, Y, and Z. So right. therefore, you can use your money for other things.
I don't even think that's a big argument, though. Mm-hmm. I think the bigger argument that we hear is that for the gentlemen who are in a position to pay 100% and still live a comfortable lifestyle, they yeah. think that that's enough. But that's still unreasonable, because if you're working 50 hours a week, 128 hours is to this baby mm-hmm. and this household. So even if you are paying all the bills, that still does not alleviate your responsibility to contributing to the household somewhat. Of course, if that woman is home from 8 to 5 when you're out, yes, she needs to be holding you down. But then when you come home at 6 o'clock, don't think that you're going to drop your shoes and just go play the game. Like, you still have to contribute to that household, because that woman is working all day, 7 days a week, no vacation, no pay time, no sick. So even working a full-time job and contributing 100% is still not equivalent to a stay-at-home mom to children.
And this is under the assumption that they got kids.
Yes, children. Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that I don't disagree with anything you said. I think right. a man should also contribute to the household. But again, are women really communicating that when we do have these conversations? Because a lot of times women would just say the man has to provide everything. And there is no other, like, well, and he also has to do it. like most women are just they're just saying that a man should provide. They're not saying anything else. So again, men are getting confused because that's all we hear is you have to provide 100%.
Right.
And it just ends at that. It's a period. There's nothing else after.
Any woman who is saying that is more than likely speaking from theoretically.
Mm-hmm.
So she is imagining what life would be like, and she is pulling and drawing information from other social media posts, short clips, chopped up pieces of information.
Yes.
And she is deciding, and it's also coming from fear of seeing your mom or your grandmother, sans father, dad is not in the home, grandpa's not there, and I don't want to be that. I'm rejecting what I saw.
Yes.
And so they are not able to communicate effectively and specifically. So what they end up doing is over communicating an argument that they believe lands.
Mm-hmm.
They think that the point that they're making, that's it. Like they hit the target. And that's because they're living from theory. But any woman, and I know at least on this side, I don't know you too much yet. Do you have any kids?
Not yet.
Okay. Any woman that has, once you have that baby and you recognize what it takes to keep that baby just alive,
mm-hmm.
forget educated and enriched, just to keep this baby alive for that first year, it changes in the entire dialogue. And herein lies the description that Allison is not able to eloquently give and provide, which is it's around the clock, constant, consistent. You're not getting a thank you. You're not getting a plaque. You don't. Your baby.
You are
not
literally getting shitted on.
Yeah,
literally.
Literally, you're not. Nobody is going to see that you had a perfect week, and now you get a plaque on the wall, and so you get to have drinks and food on us. Mm-hmm. There is none of that. It's a thankless job, and you have to show up every single day. You don't have a moment to break down. You cannot afford to break down. And so I think what happens is that home life, people want to play house.
Mm-hmm.
We want to play house. We want to play what we didn't have. When we reflect back on what we didn't have, we're projecting now. And when we project these ideals without really understanding what it takes, that's where the divisiveness comes in. No, you're supposed to be doing this and you're supposed to be doing that. And it's like, come on now, really? Like, who cares if I wash 3 to 4 dishes and none of them are mine? Like, really? Come on now.
Mm-hmm.
It's our house.
Mm-hmm.
And so the hour is missing. So I do appreciate, Allison, that you bring in the fact and matter that these gender wars, we're doing less good for one another. The reason why I appreciate being a woman and being able to speak for some of the men's experiences, I'm not a men's expert, just an advocate, is that if you, as an example, if I'm going to get a car, right? I have a car and I know that this car runs on gas. It needs oil. I got to change the oil. I got to do all these things. I know this is how this car is ran. You know what people do when they get in a car? They get in a car and they don't put the gas in. And when they're about to get to their destination and they start to see that the car is not really moving as much as they wanted to, what do they start doing? They look at the tank and they're like, damn, it's all. What do you start doing? You start banging the car. Come on, baby. Don't fail on me.
Yeah.
You start talking to the car. You don't talk to yourself. You don't be like, Cassandra, have some accountability. You should put some gas in your car. No, you end up projecting the frustration on the car to blame the car for what it's naturally not able to do because you did not serve it.
Mm.
And so when you're in a relationship and you're looking at the woman that you have or the man that you have and now they're run down because you didn't take the time to recognize you need gasoline, I need water, right? I'm not going to put water in the gasoline tank. Water helps me run and be efficient. Gasoline helps this car. So I don't, that's what's the problem with the reciprocity conversation is like, it has to look the exact same way. And reciprocity, that's not reciprocity. Mm-hmm. Reciprocity means I'm able to identify and observe and give you what you need because that's what you need.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to judge you. I'm not going to question you. I'm not going to argue. So if women need a little bit of tenderness and a little, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
A little bit of softness. You know, women need that. So I tell men, just go ahead and give it, right? Mm-hmm. And if a man needs your ear, he needs you to not judge him, he needs you to believe him, just go ahead and give it. Mm-hmm. Like, to what does it charge you mm-hmm. to give somebody something that you don't understand why it fuels them? Just go ahead and provide.
I love that metaphor.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah. That was great.
I think a lot of the times in these conversations, you know, we are living either vicariously through somebody else's past yeah. trauma. A lot of us never even experienced the trauma that we'd be talking about.
Yes.
And we want to, you know, we're speaking from a fearmonger aspect.
Yeah.
And, you know, even with the new Color Purple movie that's coming out,
mm-hmm.
I've never been a fan of Color Purple mm-hmm. or any movies like that because it does
you
seem
watch
very.
Color Purple?
Huh?
You watch Color Purple?
Yeah, I've seen most of it. Like, yeah, since,
yeah.
But I've never finished the whole thing because I don't like watching movies like that because, you know, it just doesn't. it shows a level of dysfunction within a Black community, which was at the time is true. But when you keep recycling these same content, like slave movies. Yeah, it's like that. Yeah, then it comes now. Yeah. It's like, oh, man, I seen how she was living. I'm no way I'm going to put myself in that situation. And now you don't have a tendency to value family no more because you view a man or a woman might either utilize you or take advantage of you. Now we just like, you know what? I'd rather be single. I don't need a man. I don't need a woman. And that's where these conversations become so divisive. And this next topic I do want to talk about because it's pretty interesting to me. Is unconditional love a real expectation for men, or is that like a romantic illusion? And I'll set this right. Recently, we went to a Black men's brunch. Right, it was hosted by 500 Men Making a Difference and the mayor Eric Adams. And the amount of people that we seen that watched our show, Black men that we seen that watched our show, and were just like, you know what? I appreciate what y'all doing because I feel like there's a platform for me to be heard. Like, you know what I mean? And we don't never disrespect our guests, but, you know, we are able to articulate ourselves well in a way where Black men be like, damn, you know what? I did have that same experience or whatever the case is, right? So, you know, obviously you go back into the fear monger. You know, we always hear this Chris Rock quote, you know, only a woman, children and dogs are loved unconditionally. Men are only loved based off if they could provide, you know what I mean? Right. And so that got a lot of men saying, well, damn, is unconditional love something I could really obtain, or is that just a fallacy? What's your thoughts on that? And I want to start here with Nicole.
I mean, I think it's healthy that love comes with conditions. Mm-hmm. Like, I have boundaries. I have the condition that you don't abuse me, right? I have the condition that you respect me. And I think that's really healthy. And I can love Black people unconditionally, but not, you know, have a relationship with all Black people or have a friendship with all Black people. But I can still have an unconditional love in my heart for us. And so I think personally it's healthy. And I think that women are not loved unconditionally. I think that there's a condition with the women in your life that they respect you. There's a condition with the women in your life that if you are getting married, that you do bear this child, right? And so there's conditions and expectations placed upon all of us. But I don't know, maybe I'm wrong or you guys have a different opinion.
No, you're absolutely right. All love is conditioned, even for dogs. So like as a new mom, if I had a dog that did a little snip, snip, snip at my baby, that dog is out the door. So this whole idea of, oh, only women, babies and children and dogs is absolutely not true. I think all love is conditioned. It should be conditioned. And if that were the case, then no woman would ever get left. Right. They would never be divorced.
Right.
They would never, which is initiated by the husband in that particular case, they would never be broken up with. If that was the case, that women are the only ones who are unconditionally loved, then we would never have it where men would leave their woman. Mm-hmm. Men leave women all the time.
All the time.
Mm-hmm. Men put women in positions.
But you don't know if he loved that woman unconditionally, though.
That's the point.
So the line is that only women, children, and dogs are loved unconditionally. No,
but what I'm saying is, a man can leave a woman, but you don't know if he loved her unconditionally. That's what I'm saying. Like,
he might have never loved her.
Like, he might have never loved her. That's why he left her. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But I'm saying if he did love her unconditionally, she could do whatever she want. A dog, if you love a dog unconditionally, he could eat your sneakers, rip up the couch, all this, and you taking it, you know what I mean?
Let me ask you, have you met a man that loved a woman unconditionally?
Have I met a man that...
Okay.
Outside of my mother, like, I've loved women unconditionally, but obviously I'm not with them no more. Like, you know what I'm saying?
But why? So why aren't the two of you together? You and one woman that you loved unconditionally. Why the two of you aren't together?
The one that I loved unconditionally.
I did, she definitely said that.
The one woman a couple of women I loved unconditionally. They didn't want a relationship. They wanted to focus on their career.
They were the ones who ended it each and every time.
Yeah. For sure.
So let me ask you this. Because you love somebody unconditionally, do you have to be with them?
Well, why would you leave? What because would cause you to leave?
You can love somebody, but come to the self-realization that you can't be with them.
So that maybe...
That's a condition.
That would still support what Chris Rock is stating. So even if whatever Chris Rock is saying that is occurring where women and children and dogs are being taken care of, but men are not being cared for in that same way. Mm. Maybe for that particular man who was not being cared for it any longer, he was still loved, but something was getting in the way of him being able to experience the love that he wanted because it was causing unfair harm, right? Mm. So in the case, like Chris Rock admitted that he was cheating on his wife, right? And so their relationship dissolved. Now, unconditionally speaking, he should be able to sling his dangling anywhere and his wife still stay.
Right. Yeah.
But that is causing a lot of harm, trauma. So she decides to dissolve the marriage. Right. And so he might feel like, well, I'm not loved unconditionally because there shouldn't be any conditions to the love that you have for me. Mm-hmm. Right. So then either way that you slice it on one or the other, it still supports the fact that either someone is going to leave or someone is not going to be doing the loving. Right. So like, is that unconditional love? Did he unconditionally love his wife when he continued to cheat on her?
I mean, why not?
I'm saying because love, I don't like the unconditional conversation. I like aligned love conversations because like there's even a scripture where it talks about love, and it says that, you know, even if I were to give charity, even if I was to do all these things, but have not love, then it's not that. So I like to bring into current day and time, if I cooked for you, but I didn't cook with love, it's like I didn't cook at all. Right. Mm-hmm. If I massaged your body, right? If I'm in a relationship with somebody, if I massage his body and I'm just doing it begrudgingly, it's like I didn't do it at all. Right. It's like, don't do that.
Yeah.
And so sometimes we like for Allison and I, we have a workshop that we do that we run called Love Wins. And people they hyperventilate when you say that love wins and you say that love is a good thing. And then they start to feel like you're saying something that love is like the be all end all, like, you know, that you like as if we're saying all you need is love. No, love is a conduit and it's something to be aligned to something. It's not something that operates all on its own. So one of the analogies that I give is like a door, right? You guys ever seen those doors that have the track and the wheel at the top?
Mm-hmm. A farm door.
Right, like a farm door. I kind of look at love in that kind of way. So if I have, you know, love and I have it attached to something and it's aligned, then I can move that door back and forth easily. But if it's off track a bit, you can't really make that door move. Mm-hmm. And I use the same analogy when I talk about emotions versus logic. Because when men look at themselves and they perceive a woman in her emotion, they feel that her emotion is irrelevant or it's not positive or it's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, it's to be aligned. That's why God designed us the way that he has. Because with your logic, right, your linear thinking coupled with my circular thinking, we can make things run. But if I'm always in my emotions and I'm thinking circular, I can't move forward. And if you're moving forward, you can't think well-rounded. Mm-hmm. You can't consider the women and children and you know, all the other people that are going to be affected because you're on go. Like you got one speed and it's go. Mm-hmm. And you need a woman that's going to be there to be like, no, but consider this, but consider this, but consider this. Mm-hmm. Herein lies the nagging. Mm-hmm. It has its point. But whether we're talking about aligning with love with something or emotions and logic, in this case, when it comes to love, unconditional love would not attach itself to infidelity. Mm. Unconditional love would not attach itself to being out of integrity. That's not loving.
That's fair. I think sometimes when we look at this conversation about unconditional love, again, it goes back down to the finances because when we have these conversations, the main emphasis on men is finances, right? So what men are saying is, well, if I lose my job, my woman might not have the same level of respect for me. She might leave me to go with somebody who might have more money. We have women on the show say, if you lose your job, I'm just going to get somebody with a different bag. Like, you know what I'm saying? Wow. So men are, I'm not saying that with all women, obviously, but some men are seeing that type of content, obviously, now with social media. And they're like, damn, you know, there's that much. There's another layer of pressure on me now to perform. And if I don't perform, then my woman is not going to treat me the same and therefore go out her way maybe to look for somebody to replace me in that.
Have you ever studied the Great Depression?
No, I've never studied it, but yeah.
I love men, I promise y'all. But here's the thing. When men feel pressure, they do something that there's a term that I've heard. They say that men, their feet do the voting. When the Great Depression happened and it was hard to find jobs and it was hard to run a household, it was a woman that left. It was men, which is why when the civil rights ever started happening, we started talking about women and children and creating safety nets for women and children and saying that the man couldn't be in the home. That's where it stemmed from. So I know we don't like to talk about the Great Depression part. We just like to blame women by saying that, well, you kept the men out of the home so that you guys could get TANF, so that you guys can get support and Section 8 and all these things. But it was designed because the government couldn't bank on men to stay in their place. Men have left. Unfortunately, there's a biological response that men experience when they're under pressure that causes them to leave, whether it's physically or mentally check out. It actually happens, which is why men need support, right? So that when you guys are feeling that kind of pressure, you know what to do so you can like bear the weight of life. But a lot of the things that are happening that women are seeing, right, is that women are basically saying, I'm gonna leave you before you leave me. They don't even know it. This is if you believe in the premise of DNA, like generational trauma, mm-hmm. like and trauma living in the DNA. And even mm-hmm. if you haven't like been through it and experienced it yourself, you're still gonna respond in that way. This is reactionary. This is not original design. Mm-hmm. This is women in response to the fear of being left. And truth be told, if a man loses his job and loses everything, 100% he's left. Emotionally and mentally, he's gone. He's not present. He's not feeling good in him, in his mind, his heart, his body, his spirit.
When was the Great Depression?
That was in the 1920s.
Okay. I have to do more research about that. Because you said when men lost their jobs, they left the household?
Oh, yeah. It was big.
And where?
It was big. No, we don't know. It was a phenomenon. It was a phenomenon. And also, like, there were some things that happened in the stocks. It was during the Dust Bowl, like the Great Depression and the mm-hmm. Dust Bowl and all these things. They had to put these safety nets in place because women and children, of course, cannot work. But what were we going to do? And so what happened was that some women, Chaya, I might want to cut this part out. But just to give you the history, what happened was that some of the men that did stay and they couldn't find jobs, women started to go into the workforce even then. And the men felt so threatened in their masculinity that what skyrocketed was abuse, was domestic violence.
Yeah.
That's how a lot of these systems came into play because of what was happening when men were under pressure. Mm. The response that the government took was to protect women and children because at that given point in time, I make the assumption that the government didn't understand that men needed a certain kind of like mental support because therapy wasn't popular then.
But I would also say too that...
I'm going to look that up. So the men were losing their jobs and women were getting jobs?
Yeah. Yes.
I thought there was no jobs. That's why men were... So how are the women getting the jobs? Like?
They started to do domestic things. We're talking about over time. We're not talking about immediately, right? So I'm condensing a very long piece of history in like a 5-minute bit. Mm. But they started to do domestic things, trading, doing things, cooking, anything in the home with other people who may have had money. But there were men who were jumping out of windows, committing suicide, physically exiting a relationship, whether like unaliving themselves or they were, you know, they just physically left. Like, we do not know where they went. We do not know if they're still around or not. Mm-hmm. We do not, some men have actually left, and when things started to turn over, they went somewhere else. They actually started a relationship.
New family elsewhere, carpetbaggers.
Yeah, new family.
What's it called? This is carpetbag.
I think the conversation is, like, the core of the conversation is men don't feel valuable unless they can provide. Right. And so when you don't feel valuable within yourself, it affects the way that you're insecure, right? Mm-hmm. And then that even shows up. So when your value is attached to production, it's like if you feel bad, you're like, I don't know why this person's sitting next to me and they want me while I'm feeling like this.
100%.
You know what I mean? And so you can even project that onto your partner. Mm-hmm. And so I think the conversation kind of shifts from whose fault it is to like just need emotional support when we're an investment. We're investing in ourselves like a stock. It's going to go up and down. Yes. So if your value is attached to money, you know, how are you going to address it when the stock is down?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's a valid point. And again, when we go back to your affirmations, I think that is important. Like, you know what I mean? I know if I was down and I lost my job, what will make me feel supported is my woman saying, you know what? I'm still here. We're going to get through this. You know what I mean? Like, those affirmations will make me, it'll build me back up. Because women's words are, Drew said this all the time, women's words are powerful. Mm-hmm. But if I lose my job and you're just now negative on me, like, damn, how are we going, you ain't paying no bills, and how am I going to support? Like, then that's like, damn, like, you know what I mean? I'm already dealing with enough. Like, I don't need this energy. Like, you get what I'm saying? So building that life into each other, black men and black women, can definitely help. This next topic I want to get into is how can men set boundaries without overstepping? Because I think some men do struggle in that aspect. They want to set boundaries, but then again, you know, we don't want to come off looking like, you know, we trying to force y'all. Like, you know what I mean? Okay, for example, if, you know, I don't like how you speak to me in a certain tone, right? I might tell you, like, listen, how you talk to me is disrespectful. And you might look back at it as, well, you're trying to control me or you're trying to dictate my tone towards you. And I'm just trying to set a boundary. I don't want to have that disrespectful tone towards me. I'm letting you know, but now it comes off like, okay, you're trying to control my act. You don't want me to speak up, but I'm a woman. You don't want me to speak up. You just want me to be quiet. And no, that's not what I'm saying. I just want you to talk to me in a respectful tone. Like, you get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So do y'all see, how can men establish those type of boundaries within a dynamic of a relationship without overstepping necessarily?
You just communicate like you just did. Yeah. I think that's like men that I've dated, oftentimes they shut down.
Right.
And so they don't communicate at all because they have a hard time understanding how they're feeling. And so sometimes, like, again, like, we can be each other's biggest trigger. If I'm talking to you, like, how your mom used to talk to you and she used to make you feel like that. Yeah. And you're not expressing that to me. You're just shutting down. You're just ignoring me for weeks or months. And you're just like, and then you try to, you know what I mean? When things settle down, you're like, hey, let's communicate. And that's not healthy. So I think understanding yourself first is a big one. But oftentimes Black men won't center themselves enough to understand themselves because they're oftentimes like, geared towards focusing on other people and their value is outside of themselves. And so if you don't understand yourself and how you're feeling and your emotions and shame and tone and everything that you just communicated, a lot of people have a hard time communicating that. But if you can communicate that in a healthy way, I don't see why that's not within itself setting a boundary.
Gotcha. Yeah. I know a big one we had on the show was should your boyfriend or husband have a say in what you wear outside? Right, and a lot of women say no, not at all. Right,
I don't mind that.
You say I don't mind.
I don't mind.
No, don't see, mind. And that's actually my point. I hate to take the mic from you for just a second, but I think that we are making like sweeping indictments of whole people, like billions of people, based on 3 or 4 clips off of YouTube or Instagram. Back to your point in regards to the lack of support.
Right.
The women that I know, if they found out that their partner lost their job, they're like, oh my God, baby, let me draw you a bath. Let me make you something to eat. And then after that, we're going to fix up your resume and we're both applying on your behalf and we're gonna figure it out.
Right.
So I'm not negating that you've heard this, but I don't think that that really reflects the majority. I don't think that I think the majority of women who love the partner that they have, which I assume if you're with your partner, you love them, are going to be like, baby, what you think? You like this? Mm-hmm. Oh, baby, I think it's all right. No, all right. So I'm going to pull out something else.
Yeah.
But if we're talking about what we see in clips and pieces here and there, then you may see that reflected. But I think most women are really okay with their partner having a say.
Yeah. I want him to.
Now, clips. This is people on the show. And so, then women in the comments saying, yeah, they can't tell me what to wear outside.
It's a couple of things. I will say this, right? I've had the delivery makes a difference. I'm going to compartmentalize this a little bit.
Okay.
When a woman is in love,
right,
a guy wouldn't have to do so much.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So consider this. If you're a gentleman and you're making a comment that is natural to you and she's rebuttaling, she's giving a hard time, consider the possibility that she may not love you. Period. Very simple. Because in a space of love, in that motion of love, it's very hard to resist giving somebody something that they're asking for, provided that you're healthy and they're healthy. There are controlling men. There are controlling women out there, right? And sometimes when a man is indeed controlling, and not that he's doing a controlling behavior or act, but rather that his personality is controlling, you will more than likely incite someone rebelling because the natural human order is resistance to change. So when a woman is saying you have a say, like myself, Allison, and ladies that are joining the couch with me are saying, I would do that. There's nothing that you're changing in us because it already lives inside of us to go ahead and give it. So if he's asking, he's not controlling anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's already there.
Right.
So a man who's causing, who wants to cause a woman to do something, more than likely met her a certain way. And it was fine when we were dating. It was fine for me to dress like that when we were dating. Now you want to control that. It would be control.
Right.
Because that's not in me to dress like I'm Susie Homemaker.
Mm-hmm.
My MO is Kim Kardashian. I want to dress like her. Mm-hmm. And now you don't want me to dress like her.
The clothing isn't the issue.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not the root cause.
Yeah.
There's someone who is trying to be controlling. There's someone who's afraid of being controlling, of being controlled. And it's also a lack of trust.
Mm-hmm.
If my husband saw me in an outfit and said, I don't think that's a good idea, I trust that he knows what he's talking about.
Exactly.
Something's off. You know, your breasts ain't looking too breasty right now. Your stomach is sticking out. You're not going to like the photos that come out, or that color is not what's best to complement your eyes. Or he is saying this because he wants me to win.
Right.
He wants what's in my best interest. Yeah. So the question really is, or do you really love this person? Do you really trust that they want what's best for you over the outfit in itself? It's not about the outfit.
Exactly. Yeah. And I also wanted to touch on the boundary piece because I just wanted to see what other people thought. But one of the things that people get are mistaken when it comes to boundaries is when a man is holding boundaries, a woman is holding boundaries, you're not holding a boundary for someone else. that boundary belongs to you. You own it, all of it,
right,
including the consequences thereafter. Mm-hmm. So if you have a hard boundary around the way that a woman speaks to you, it's your responsibility first to convey what you need. So in other words, saying, I don't like when you speak to me like that will not suffice, because what is that? I do not like it when you're speaking over me. When I'm in the middle of my thought, I want to be able to fully express myself before you cut me off. And if I'm going on too long, I would appreciate that you put up a finger or say something, or we could use a code word when I'm going on too long so that you can make your point. But I need to get this out. And if she fails to consistently do that, you will let her know, babe, I love you. I find that I'm trying to express myself. You're not hearing me. If you cut me off again, I'm going to leave this conversation because we're obviously heated. And we'll come back and revisit this in 20 minutes. Mm. So whoever is going to name the boundary, it's not enough to just state it, make a demand. That's a demand, right? That's beyond a request, right? You're making a demand. You want to, a boundary, you're making the request of the person, but it's a demand on your own life. Mm-hmm. I need this boundary for me because it helps me to remain regulated and helps me to stay in the character and the position that I want to be in. So the way that a man can learn how to maintain and establish boundaries is to first have a clear-cut understanding of what boundaries really mean for him. That means from the before you ever state it, right, there's a process to boundary creation, which is the forethought about it, like being able to conceptualize what really triggers me, what really bothers me, what do I need in place to keep this trigger from spiraling out of control, and what gets to happen if somebody betrays my boundary over and over again, even though I've reinforced it. Mm. And which is to exit.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
That's in the conversation, do you think that allowing a person to finish what they're saying is more of a respect thing? Like, I respect you enough to listen to what you're saying before I respond?
That's...
Yeah, the listening to comprehend versus the listening to just respond is an issue both black men and black women. Just women and men in general just have a hard time. We're waiting to hear that word. And then we just jump in, like, you know what I'm saying? It's like double dutch, motherfuckers. Just, you know, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, instead of letting me hear out, because you cut me halfway off. So if you cut me halfway off, it can sound offensive. But if you let me finish, okay, I understand where you was coming from.
So honestly, it's not actually. So when we're bantering, right? Like, let's say we're not recording, and let's say we all at a restaurant, we just chit chatting.
Right.
Do you really think we care if we cut each other off? No, because we all talking and chopping it up. We're having a really good time.
I still do care.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, a lot of
most people.
A lot of
I get what you're saying, though. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, but I don't mean it like in a disrespectful way. I'm just mean like somebody makes a joke. We're all contributing to the conversation.
But that's a different level of conversation, though.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. In the conversation where we're having something more serious,
right,
now we're talking about emotional regulation. Mm-hmm. So it's what's happening internally is something that we have to think about, what is causing the emotional regulation to come off kilter. And what normally happens is it's not necessarily that we're answering to just respond. What happens is that someone said something and they've attacked someone's character.
Mm-hmm.
They've attacked their truth. And so they're coming to actually not just respond, they're coming to defend.
Mm-hmm. I want to stand up for the people that interrupt, because I sometimes do that. And the reason why is because sometimes people will make 10 points in one whiff of, you know, a conversation. I'm like, whoa, let's back up to your first point. Like you said, I felt attacked, a little disrespected. I need to address that. You got to go to a whole other point and change the conversation. And let's address that. Right. You know what I'm saying?
But I don't think that's interrupting, though. Because if you're making 10 points, by the time you finish what you're saying, I'll remember what point 2 and 3 was. So I think you should make a point. All right, let's talk about this and then move on to what else is your grievance?
Mm-hmm.
You
know what
I mean? I think sometimes that can be, like you said, it is triggering. But again, sometimes when we get into these conversations, women are much more emotional. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So they might interpret something as, you know, oh, wow, I'm in my feelings right now. It's that time of the month right now, or whatever the case is. So I might look at as an attack when it really was never an attack to begin with. Like, you get what I'm saying? So now I have to negate how you felt to what I said instead of you just listening to comprehend to what I said. Like, now you made me feel a certain way. Now you negated everything I just said because you felt a certain way. And I'm like, that's not the point I'm trying to get at. You get what I'm saying?
My guy Troy said that in one of his clips. I remember he said the exact same thing, something similar, which is that if I'm expressing myself to my wife, or I don't think he was talking about his wife in this case, but he was just giving a generalization, and then she gets offended, now I can't really talk about what I was originally talking about. Now I have to cater to your emotions and feelings. What would you guys, I know that I'm not supposed to be interviewing y'all, but I'm just curious, what would you guys prefer a woman do
in that situation?
Mm-hmm.
say I'm not in the right emotional to handle this conversation. Maybe we can have it later on when I'm feeling
like what you said about coming back to the conversation, letting both people just cool off, you know what I mean? Because in the heat of the moment, people just say something that they just want to get across. Oh, I just want to make you feel bad, or I just want to say this because I know it's going to get to you. Whatever the case is, like, let's just revisit this conversation. Like, you know,
so you wouldn't feel like every time it's her turn, she wants to stop the conversation?
Huh? Every time it's her turn, what do you mean?
So, like, you wouldn't, if she says, hey, I need a beat, would you think that you might feel like, okay, every time I'm talking to you about something that you're doing, when it's your turn, when you, the bad guy, now you need a break. But when it's my turn, I'm doing something that bothers you, you got to talk about it right now.
But see, that's where the emotional intelligence come in. You got to be able to give what you want. You know what I mean? So if you need time when you arguing, and I say I need time this time, you should be able to understand that, because you need the same thing when it's your turn.
I think, you know, segueing into this, you know what I mean? This is why he the co-host. Like, you know, we always hear this term emotional intelligence, right? And I don't, you know, that's like one of the terms that I think we need to leave in 2023 as we go into 2023.
You think so? Well, I like that.
Because it's like the word narcissist. Motherfuckers be saying this shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? Nobody really
knows. Oh, my God.
What it is abused.
Like, you know what I'm saying? So,
I hate narcissists.
Can we just explain, or can y'all explain what emotionally intelligent means? And do you think most people are capable of handling somebody who's emotionally intelligent?
I think that his example in layman's terms is perfect, right? Being emotionally intelligent is, one, being able to understand your emotions versus somebody else's, being able to regulate your own emotions, and being able to know when you've met your, like, well before you've met your peak. You don't want to wait till your emotional stability has expired and now you've fallen off the handle. You want to be able to understand where you're coming from. But I think that what's more important than emotional intelligence per se is that conversation is empathy. So when somebody asks me questions like, well, how do I know if I got a good man or not? Or how do I know if I'm with a good woman or not? It's the ability to put yourself in somebody else's shoes as them. Mm-hmm. Not if I was you, you good, because if it was me, I'd have done X, Y, Z. Right. You're putting yourself in their shoes. Now, you need to be in their shoes as them. So what would, you know, an example that I like to use sometimes is like, if I'm 5'2", I'm a woman, and I'm 108 pounds soaking wet, and I feel threatened, I may fawn, right? We have primitive responses, fight, flight, freeze, fawn. Fawning is like playing dead, playing nice, right? Mm-hmm. I might fawn. That's when you see women who are being, you know, followed, who are like, oh, you know, I'm good, you know what I'm talking. She's being super nice. People in the comments like, oh, if that was me, I would have went off, da, da, da. She can't afford to be mean because she can't back it up. Mm-hmm. And if I'm a 6'3" guy and I'm like 260 pounds, you know, all on my own, and I feel threatened, I can be confrontational. So a man who's like 6'3", and his girl is the 5-foot woman, right? And he might look at his girl like, oh, you let this guy,
entertaining it.
You entertaining him. You got him thinking that you want him. What you doing? That is her. That is her response in the mode of feeling threatened. She's fighting for her life in that moment. She needs kudos. You know what I'm saying? She needs a round of applause. That's empathy. Gotcha. If somebody has the capacity to put themselves in your shoes as you, that's what makes a person a good, healthy person.
I really like your point. I want to just add to it as well. Like, from my perspective is, when I'm triggered, and if you love me, I can't have my trigger trigger you. Like, I'm hoping that my trigger doesn't trigger you. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like, that to me is emotional intelligence, that I can be triggered and talk through it, because like, and be anxious and be upset, and you don't gaslight or blame or make it worse or you know what I mean? Or get defensive. You can sit and you can listen, and it's not me against you or us against each other. It's us against the problem.
Yes.
What's the problem right now? Mm-hmm. You know, and that to me is an emotionally intelligent man.
I love that.
Yeah.
Got you. What's your thoughts on this?
I think another element that we should discuss is reading the room. So a part of emotional intelligence is not only being aware of your emotions, being aware of the other person and how they need to respond, but deciding what's appropriate in the moment right now. So I need to just read the room. Like, is this a time that I need to bring up the fact that you were rude to my mom when she came to visit for Thanksgiving? But I know that you just had a tough day at work. Like, being able to read the room and decide when is the appropriate time to bring up X, Y, Z is also an important part of emotional intelligence.
I like that.
I think, you know, sometimes when we have these conversations, we always stress emotionally intelligence, right? But, you know, sometimes when men are expressing themselves, or just, you know, women have vouch for men to be more expressive of their emotions. Right. I remember a couple of years ago, we was very adamant about, you know, men are very stoic. They don't show their emotions.
And now y'all are sassy.
I was ready to say that. Now that men are showing their emotions, and I'm not even saying in a sassy way, but sometimes that's just automatically perceived. If I feel some type of way, oh, you're sassy, because a real man wouldn't express, you know, that's why we have the term being a bigger man. We don't ever have to be the bigger woman. It's like, you know, we do, some men have experienced emotional abuse from their women.
Of course.
You know, we just have to either eat it sometimes, or we just, when we do step up or speak up, now it's, oh, you shouldn't be going back and forth with a woman, or why'd you block her? That's sassy. It's like, I'm trying to protect my peace at the end of the day. So maybe blocking her was the best move on my end, because I didn't want to have to say something that I was going to regret. You get what I'm saying? So I think sometimes when men are being more emotional, just intelligent about their emotions, some women can perceive it as, oh, well, he's just being sassy or whatever the case is. So, you know, I think we do struggle with that. And because we have single parented households, a lot of us, or we came from single parent households, we haven't seen that male and female dynamic of two adults in a relationship being able to express themselves emotionally and resolve, you know, conflict resolved out of that. You know what I mean? So a lot of times we're just, you know, living vicariously through somebody else, like, you know, unfortunately. So
that's one of the things that makes it hard being a man, because there's like two parts to it. On one aspect of it, again, like I do like having these biological conversations around what it looks like when the protector is being vulnerable, right? So sometimes what I say, what an example that I give is like, if there's a fire and the firefighter comes, but he throws me in front of it, like he's like scared too. I'm like, I'm gonna be like, what you doing? You're scared of the flames. Like, what you over here? You know, like you ducking with me, you know, or a cop does it. And so,
and what biologically would your attraction level to him be a decrease?
Decrease.
Okay.
Yeah. Are you kidding me? If a cop, if guns start popping off, pop, and the cop is like bringing me on top of him, like, you know, help a brother out.
Using shield, like, yeah.
Yes.
Give me a badge. Give me a badge. Give me, you know, I'm done, you know? And so when biologically, right, on a primitive caveman, primitive level, not elevated, on a primitive level, it does occur as a threat. Because we're not anticipating a man being vulnerable. This is why dating right now is really hard, because we're no longer attracted to traditional primitive relationships. We want a transcendent one. Uh-huh. Now we're spiritual. Now we're talking about feminine and masculine energy. Mm-hmm. You know, now I need to be well-traveled. We've added to the repertoire of what it means to have a healthy relationship, right? Mm-hmm. And so on the other end of that is that spiritual. So my question would be to a gentleman, if a grown man, let me preface it by saying grown man, tells me that that's how a lady is responding, my response to him is she a woman or is she a grown female? Because all of the women I know are unbothered by a man expressing himself. So most of the times when guys are talking about their experiences, I'm bewildered, because I'm like, where are y'all finding these women at?
And that's what I was gonna say, vetting. I think the vetting process for both men and women are poor. And so again, we're looking at that surface level, and we're not having in-depth conversations, and we're not finding out whether or not someone has been through a traumatic childhood, and have they gone through therapy, and have they done the work. It's I'm cute, you cute, we're gonna be cute together. And then you're surprised when you get so much pushback because she's dressing in a way that you find is too sexy. Or you're surprised when the gentleman is giving you a hard time when he's dating a whole bunch of women, but you got with the 6'6 basketball player, what you thought you was going to get, right? Like, we have to do a better job of vetting and asking the right questions, paying attention to behaviors, taking our time, like you mentioned earlier, Nicole, before we jump into the bed and before we jump into committed relationships with folks, because most people are not psychotic. Like, they really cannot have this facade of someone that they are not for too long. Their truths will show. It's just a matter of, are you willing to wait it out to see?
That part. And then does it become boundary setting and then selfish? Like, when blocking, like you just mentioned blocking, like I definitely used blocking before, but a part of me is back and forth with that, because I'm just like, am I also not caring about the other person's emotions and having a problem communicating myself? You know, and setting a clear, you know, verbal boundary. Is this person triggering me in the moment? Do I just need to step away from it, or do I just block this person in that life? And so I'm not sure about your specific situation, but
I just wanted to ask, I mean, it varies.
Nah, he's King Block. That's King Block right there.
I don't entertain that. You know, sometimes if I see that the conversation is just, you know, you sometimes you want to prove your point so badly that you just is just spewing nonsense. Like, you know what I mean? I can't get to you at this point. Mm-hmm. So I'd just rather protect my peace. Like, you hear what I'm saying? I'm like, you know what? Let me not say something before I end up on the shave room. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, what would you say? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just like, you know what? Whatever.
A screenshot.
Right. You know what I mean? So before we get up out of here, I want to get to two more topics. And I want to start here with Nicole. Can a man who is non-religious still be an effective leader for his family? I did see you speak about this topic before as far as a man being a leader. And how he's, you know, grounded in God and religion, things of that nature. Can somebody who is not religious still be a leader for his family?
I think it just depends on what you're serving. Mm. I think a man needs to serve something bigger than himself. Mm. So if you're not religious, are you living a life of servitude and for what? In your community, in your family, are you serving something? And I think that's what religion does a really good job of, is having that relationship with God allows you to serve something greater than yourself. Mm-hmm. And so you're not just a man whose ideas are just like off a whim. I want to do this because I want to do this. No one's holding me accountable. I have no character or values to stand on. It's mm-hmm. just all about what I want. I feel like that's a little bit irresponsible, and I wouldn't trust a man like that to be personally. Mm-hmm. But I want to hear what the other ladies think.
No, I definitely agree with you. And I feel like a man that's not religious can be a leader, but definitely have to have the values and the standards.
Mm-hmm.
And
that you stand for nothing. Yeah. You know, you stand for nothing. Like,
You'll fall for anything.
I feel like if a man is not tethered, connected, grounded to something, he's like a live wire. Yeah. I don't think that most men understand their influence. They have a very strong influence. And I think one of the reasons why men don't understand the influence is because they experience the influence of a woman so greatly that they don't recognize it in even in and of themselves, right? But women do. A woman understands, like, I can be impressioned by you. And so if a man isn't connected to some sort of force greater than himself, he can become a danger to his household.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because then to what are you obeying? You become sovereign. You become your own God. That's dangerous. Mm-hmm. So do I think a man can lead without religious or spiritual? Because I'm thinking that might be the term is just, does he believe in something like a greater power? Yeah. Or is it the religion part?
I was speaking religious just from the aspect of religion.
Yeah. Okay. I don't think that he has to be religious, but I do recommend that he has some sort of spiritual inclination, understanding that you did not make yourself, you did not bring yourself here. Right. And because he has the expansion to be able to recognize that he is not self-made.
Right.
I think when a man believes that he did it all on his own, like he really believes that he's hardened.
Yeah.
And so when you're hardened, you're impenetrable, like you can't really connect, you can't really relate. And he can become very arrogant. Everything becomes about him. So I think that spirituality or you know, necessarily religion, but a belief in a higher power serves a man in being a greater leader.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. What's your thoughts on this?
My thought is that he cannot lead his household if his wife or partner is religious. I'll tell you that. Mm. Because when you have two people who are in a romantic relationship building a family, mm-hmm. and one of the fundamental beliefs are not in alignment, that relationship will not work.
Yeah.
So if that woman is a religious woman and that man is not, first of all, they shouldn't be dating. Mm-hmm. But if it escalated beyond that, now they have a household, they're going to be in constant conflict. Every Sunday is going to be mm-hmm. a constant conflict about what Christmas looks like. It's an issue mm-hmm. that should not be one.
Yeah.
If That's you bad. Are a religious person, you mm-hmm. should not date people who are not. It's going to be a constant mm-hmm. struggle for the duration of that relationship. And I suspect that relationship will not last.
Yeah.
Amen. And I'm a woman of God. So mm-hmm. like I get excited to be led by a man who's led by God.
Totally.
Because if you're living your life for God in purpose, right? What does that look like? It looks like you're serving something greater than yourself. And it's like, I serve you. I take care of you. I'm taking care of your purpose. I'm taking care of God's purpose.
Yes.
So like if I get excited to do that, then that means like, I'm just going to take care of you more. I'm going to spoil you more. I'm going to mm-hmm. make sure you go out into that world and you serve God's purpose.
Like,
and I'm going to serve you because you are leading me somewhere to a life that I can be proud of. Mm-hmm. And like, that excites me. And it's not, that's when like servitude and submitting to your man, you can trust that because yes. you trust God and you have a man that trusts God.
Yes.
And like, that's a dream.
Yeah.
Right.
In I regards think, to the
to piggyback mm-hmm. on what you said, because I was in a marriage for like 10 years and we were unequally yoked.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say you don't Everything. Think about little things that when you have children and then the whole different dynamic of everything. And then when you have children, it's like, oh, wow, like this really matters.
Yeah.
Like having a man that believes in God and has the same values and you guys are aligning to the same place, it matters. And I would never date outside of that.
I think, and I know me and Keem is on the same boat on this. And I don't, you know, if that's your preference, I don't have nothing to say against it.
Mm-hmm.
But as somebody who I don't subscribe to a religion. I believe I'm much more spiritual than I am religious, because I could hear, you know, all forms of religion and have and relate to it somehow. Like, you know what I'm saying? So I don't subscribe to a religious belief, but I still think, you know, my beliefs are very family oriented. You know, me and Ace, we share the same beliefs. You know, even though we don't have a, you know, religion that we subscribe to, I don't think somehow, you know, that doesn't make us any less of a leader. And I get y'all perspectives and everything. Like, I'm not taking that away from y'all, but just as people who I have spoken to other men who don't necessarily subscribe to a religion, but they do believe in a higher purpose, a higher power. And, you know, when they hear conversations like that, it can be triggering, because it sounds like, damn, you know, you're not a leader. You can never be a leader. And you know what I'm saying? I'm like, damn, all of that. Like, you know what I'm saying? But you know, I do appreciate everybody's opinion when they say that. Ace, you have something to say?
Yeah. I just think it, like you always say, like the two biggest things that you got to agree on in a relationship is politics and religion. So I just think that if y'all not on the same page, that the chances of it working is very low. Yeah. However, I could see myself with somebody religious, but I think where it would become a problem if that they're trying to force it on you, like, yeah, instead of letting it happen naturally. So, but if you weeding them out from the beginning on that, that's
got
not a problem.
Question like, first date, like, yo, yeah. Here's the questionnaire. And
are you religious? No. Okay, like, check.
But check, you guys can have the same religion and still not be equally yoked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just that's one slice of the pie. And I think that's a part of the pie that a lot of people have been banking on, because they fail to vet, like Allison was mentioning. They don't know how to vet. And the assumption is, because listen, at the end of the day, if religion was the hallmarker, then we wouldn't have 50% of marriages ending in divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And quite a few of them are in the church, right? Mm-hmm. So that goes to show you that you could subscribe to the same exact God and still not have a relationship that works.
I think it's very important, but I do think that there's more important factors that can overcome that. Like, if y'all both communicate well and y'all understand into what each other believes, then it could work.
Right.
It could work. Listen, I'm tired of y'all pastors out ditching. No, I'm joking. Listen, this last topic before we get up out of here. You know, is marriage still a viable concept? You know, we talked about this with we talked about this with the divorce attorney. You know, and obviously we have these relationships. It seems like nobody wants to be in relationships anymore.
Yeah.
Nobody seems to value relationships anymore. Motherfuckers gonna be baby daddies, baby mamas. I don't know what's going on, but I do know the nuclear family, at least to me, is the solution. We have to get back to that.
Mm-hmm.
But do you think marriage is still a viable concept in today's modern era?
Absolutely. Yeah. And the fact that you said that, you know, it seems like no one wants to be in relationships anymore. I don't know if you guys are on the same timeline as me. That's all we talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Back in COVID 2020, it was entrepreneurship. Like, that was the thing. How are we going to make more money? Because people were so afraid about losing their jobs. Now, all we talk about is relationships. Yeah. We all want to be in them. We all want to be able to function and be healthy and fulfilled by them. We absolutely want those things. We are afraid.
Mm-hmm.
We are afraid. And so I'm so thankful that we have platforms like this that are having honest conversations with people who are reasonable and fair, because what's happening is that there's a message that's being perpetuated throughout society, especially Black America, that marriage is useless. Men are the ones left holding the bag. There's no value in it anymore. And that's absolutely just not the case. It's just not the case.
Yeah.
As you mentioned before, if we're looking back, civil rights era, right, up until the 80s with the crack epidemic, when we had a two-parent household, children were performing better, finances were more solid, there was more home ownership. In every category that you can measure success, right? So mental stability, financial stability, general happiness. When we had a nuclear family, we were doing better as a society.
Mm-hmm. Protection of women was, you know, we had communities, so our women didn't feel like they were less protected than they do obviously today.
I think Busta Rhymes, he said it in a podcast recently where he was talking about how back in the day, even if you saw a mother like from the on the block, like somebody, she's carrying her bags, everybody got to put their spliff out, get her bags, walk her to her building, up the stairs. They're not letting her hold a thing because that nucleus was still there. Even if maybe you didn't, even if your parents weren't together, you know a bunch of people on the block whose parents were together. Yes. You know what the expectation was in front of a woman, mm-hmm. right? Which is to not curse, to not smoke, you know what I'm saying? Help her with her bags, and that she could trust that this gentleman, it wasn't at all odd. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, if a man says, "Hey, what's up, ma?" it's a threat.
Yeah, you can't walk me to my door. You're going to know where I live. Right. You're going to try to bust through the door, right?
There's no trust. There's no trust on any scope. So 100%, when men are in relationships, because when a man is in a relationship, in a marriage, he's more than likely to go to the doctor, right? Like, there's studies on this that show that they catch things a lot quicker, sooner, faster.
Married men live longer. Married men are healthier. Married men make more money. There was a clip that was circulating about a gentleman who says that he puts on a wedding ring when he goes into interviews, corporate interviews, and has meetings because married men are perceived as more stable.
Wow.
It's a win across the board. But again,
I'm about to do that shit.
Right.
Right. And
be like, yeah, you know, I'm just looking for a good job. Right. Like, you know
what color like, your ring going to be? Black or silver? I said, what color your ring going to be? Right. What color your ring?
I don't know what color should be. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I need to know all the facts. Like, you know?
Right. So absolutely. Healthy marriages. Mm-hmm. Healthy. Emphasis on health. Because any of us could get married any day of the week. We could walk out right on Canal Street and we could pick up somebody.
Right.
It's not about getting married. It's getting married to the right person that has a similar vision, who's going to lead us not to hell, right, but in the right direction that we both decide is what we desire and require for ourselves and our future family. Mm-hmm. So, yes, healthy marriages are the way for us to turn society around, period.
Mm-hmm. Mm, that
That's a good question. We met at Starbucks. We were 18. Maybe I was 17. He was 18. He was working at Starbucks. And we met downtown Brooklyn, bagged me, mm-hmm. right? but the thing is that I was staying here in New York. He was going away to college in California. And both of us had some insight, like, this ain't going to work. So we kind of just fizzled. Yeah. We continued our friendship through Facebook. And then he DM'd me, right? In the DM. So when we think dating apps is
Instagram, down in the DMs, huh?
Facebook, LinkedIn. LinkedIn is an amazing dating opportunity. Yeah, these people are already vetted. Relatively know where they work. You know their real first and last name. It gives you a lot of insight that people don't really recognize. Any kind of space that allows you to meet people is a dating app or a dating opportunity. So you got to use it.
I never even thought about LinkedIn like that. Yeah. You know, just to go back to what you said about women, you know, going out in public more and meeting men, you know, one of the issues that I'm hearing from men is that, you know, it is harder to approach women because they do have that guard up, you know what I mean? They might have that resting bitch face. Like, it makes it very unapproachable. Sometimes y'all can be a little bit unapproachable. Unapproachable. Like, you know what I mean? So that does make it a little bit more difficult. Or, you know, a lot of men have experienced a lot of rejection from our women where we just be like, man, you know what? She don't look like she want to be approached right now. I want to be perceived as a creep because you know, we had an incident where somebody seen an attractive woman and he gave her a compliment. Hey, you look attractive, beautiful. And she just went off on a tangent on him. And he's like, yo, damn, it wasn't like, yo, ma, you look good. It was a very respectful way he approached her. And she was like, yo, I know I look good. I don't need you to tell me I look like, you know what I mean? So it was like, damn, all right, well, that's what I get for shooting my shot. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, I do agree. We do have to start meeting each other more in public, but being more open to, you know what I mean? Being able to talk to each other. Like, I'm tired of going to parties and motherfuckers using their phone. Don't want to dance. Y'all don't want to communicate. Y'all don't want to do nothing. Like, you know what I mean? And club culture is another thing we're going to have to talk about, but we're going to say that for another show. Again, we appreciate y'all for being on the show. Again, let them know where they can follow you at.
Yes, absolutely. Again, I'm Allison, certified dating and relationship coach, and you can find me at Align with Allison on every platform.
I'm Patricia, and you can find me at PatriciaRJL4 on Instagram.
And I am Cassandra. I'm a life and relationship coach and a men's advocate. You can find me on Instagram at AskMissCassandra.
And I'm Nicole Glass. You can find me at Affirmations for Black Men and Nicole J. Glass on all platforms.
Mm-hmm.
I just
want to
say y'all four very beautiful and intelligent women. No offense to y'all.
I know I'm beautiful. You ain't gotta tell me that. Right. My husband do that for me already.
Celebrate, my you can't talk and do this.
Yeah, y'all dope, man. But again, if y'all enjoyed the conversation, hit that like button. Subscribe if y'all not already subscribed. Hit that notification button. I was on y'all earlier. Y'all gotta be on that. Join the membership, please, man. The membership helps us. We on Patreon too. We got a lot of motherfucking shout outs, man. Like, goddamn. Like,
Patreon, YouTube, hit that second channel, I mean, hit the merch.
The merch, okay. Oh, my, logical. Yeah, logical. Okay. We try to promote that over here. Like, you know what I mean? Appreciate y'all.